Hallelujah. God is good all the time, isn't he? Even when we're idiots, he still rescues us. Would you turn to Psalm 127, please? Psalm 127. You know, there is a scripture that says, "For much is given, much is required." So in this much is given, much is required. That means that the enemy's after you because you know too much. And because you know too much, he begins to send people around you that don't know as much and try to convince you of what they know. And in this, what happens is his purpose is to bring confusion. And God is not the author of confusion. So where there's confusion, it means it's the presence of evil. But where there's peace, joy, and righteousness, it's the presence of God. And we must always begin to discern the difference between the presence of evil and the presence of God. When you're in fear, it's the presence of evil. When you're in torment, it's the presence of evil. When you're in the flesh, it's the presence of evil. So, you know, right now the spirits of Antichrist, the demonic forces are so out. And, you know, even the Bible says that the devil knows that he's going around like a roaring, ravishing, raving, bonkers idiot because he knows he has a short time. And if you ever got around an animal that's been wounded, even though you'd like to help it, it'll chew you up. Because this is what's happening right now. It's happening. There's such shaking going on. There's such things that are happening right now. It's phenomenal. I don't know if you know or not, but there have been 755 earthquakes in 7 days in this country. In the last 7 days. 755 earthquakes in the last 7 days in this country. Tell me there's not a shaking going on. And the shaking is the area, especially in where the word says that we're not to be unevenly yoked. They're shaking. Things that are not solid, on solid foundation of Christ, is going to be shaken. So we cannot be unevenly yoked. In other words, we can't have those idols. You got to remember that association will bring an impartation. And who you're associating with is going to bring an impartation to you. So you must use wisdom. You must use wisdom. And in this, there's something very important. And in Psalm 127, in verse 1, it says what? Unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. How many of you know that everything on this is vain? Everything is vain. The only thing that's not vain is your relationship with the Lord. Everything else is stinking vain. Everything. It's amazing how we're trying to build our own lives. I said, we're trying to build our lives. When you gave your life to Christ, see, when you begin to build your life, you labor in vain. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. I said sorrows. Sorrows. Woes is Mises. Oh, well, you know why? Because the eyes are on you now. The eyes are on yourself. So he says, listen, if you're going to keep your eyes on yourself, you're going to stay up late. You're going to get up early in the area and mourn for yourself. In other words, you're not allowing God to build a house. You are again. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Again, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And this is so important because what the enemy is trying to do right now in this area that he's infiltrating and influencing and interfering with God's house is trying to cause individuals to start building the house in their own abilities, their own talents, their own resources, instead of the things of God. And it's causing individuals, the end result is the house is going to crumble. Because a house divided will not stand, and it will bring division in your own house. Division is when there's confusion. Division is when there's fear. Division is when there's lack of God's presence. Has everybody got it? In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 9. Let's read this together. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, and you are God's building, if you're letting him build it. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now there's something that the Lord is doing right now. One of the things he shared with me, he says, I am raising up master builders like I raised up Paul. There is no excuse that everyone in this room should not be a master builder. None. Why? Because much is given, much is required. What God has given you in this place is phenomenal. There is no excuse that we should not become master builders, but I'm going to tell you that there's going to be a fight so that you don't become a master builder or fulfill that function. A master builder is one that allows God to build the house, so he builds it according to God's way. And as he builds it according to God's way, he helps build other houses. Has everybody got it? That's called discipleship. Let's go a little further. Oh, hallelujah. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with what? Gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw. Each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be what? Revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. You know, when you cry out for fire, when we sing the songs, what happens is God begins to expose the garbage. So you may be wondering why you're going through all kinds of stuff after you've just been crying out for fire. See, the fire, what it does is it takes the gold. And if you were to take gold and heat it, it becomes transparent. So when we cry out for fire, we're asking the Lord to make us transparent. But it's amazing how many people think, well, man, I mean, yes, there is a presence of God there, isn't there? When you're calling out for fire, the presence of God comes. Well, that presence of God is to make you transparent. Why? Because he wants you to be one with him. So the things in your life he begins to expose. He begins to expose your associations. He begins to expose your idols. He begins to expose your heart. He begins to expose all kinds of things in your life. But see, that's why so many times when we're praising in God's presence, when the fire comes, people love the presence of God, but then they don't want to deal with what he's showing them. So they run. You know, people get offended in the presence of God. There are people that get offended in the presence of God. Why? Because of the demons. The presence of God comes, they don't want to worship. I've seen people pick up their Bible and start reading because they're trying to avoid God's presence. And they don't realize it. They don't realize it. But I've seen this happen in front of my eyes. Or they start talking to somebody else while the presence of God is there. Hey, where you been? How you doing? And people are worshiping and praising, worshiping the Lord in His presence. And somebody comes up and says, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Pow! You know what they're trying to do? The demons in them are trying to distract you. Because the demons in them can't settle. They can't settle. Because they don't like the presence of God. They usually run. They can only handle a quarter of a service, half of a service. They can't fight all the way through. Because the demons control them. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I got to work tomorrow. You know, if you really trust God and you want to get in God's presence, you'll wake up refreshed. There's times when I've had a few hours of sleep and I'll say, Lord, I know I only got 3 hours of sleep here. You know, there's only 3 hours left till I have to do something. Can you give me 8 hours sleep in three? You know? Hallelujah. And majority of the time he answers it or he tells me, rest. In verse 14. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so is through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles a temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So you are God's building. You are God's building. We are to be wise master builders. See, when you're a wise master builder, you gain God's trust. An unwise builder loses God's trust and has to reestablish trust with the Lord again. To build, in other words, when we build, it's going to take three things. And when God begins to build, there's three things that we always must acknowledge. How, what, and when. How, what, and when. The how is called grace. It's God's plan. It's the blueprints. And believe me, he doesn't give you the full plan all at once. So he gives you a part of what to do. The what is what you're using, how to do it. In other words, the what is actually called truth. So the how is called grace. The what, in other words, what is the material that you're going to use. And you're going to use truth. That's the material. It's called truth. In other words, the Word of God. And the when. You know, when you're getting ready to build something, you have a blueprint and you have the material. Now, there's a couple things you must consider. Weather conditions. In other words, when God is building you, and he's saying, here's the plan, here's the material, here's my truth, whatever, there are certain things that, and the reason why you consider weather conditions is because it might not be time. Does everybody got that? It might not be what? Time. So when has to do with conditions, timing, and purpose. Because there's something he's trying to do in us, build in us. But first of all, he's giving you the plan. He's giving you the material. Then he's telling you when to implement it. When to do this. You know, so many times people will get something and they go do it when he hasn't told them to do it yet. So if it's out of time, it can't, the structure can't hold. Is everybody okay? 2 Timothy chapter 2. So these are very important three areas, or you might say three parts of the foundation in building the house of God, and it's the how, what, and when. So it must be according to His plan, according to His truth, and according to His time. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain, right? How many of y'all want to be a master builder? Well, this is what He's raising up right now. Because there's been too many buildings that need renovation now. There's a lot of buildings in the body of Christ that need renovations. Some of them have been condemned. 2 Timothy chapter 2, is everybody there? Some of them need new roofs, all kinds of stuff. Some mostly plumbing. In verse 20, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 20, is everybody there? Let's read this together. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for what? Honor, and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a wise vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Now, this is powerful because a master builder has to first get cleansed. Before you can do anything, you must do excavation to a piece of property. So you must clear it out. And he's saying, before we can start, one of the first things I'm going to give you is to start cleaning out and clearing out the things in your life. Amen? Why? Because if we're going to be master builders, we got to be prepared and ready to serve the master. So there's got to be first a cleansing from dishonor to honor. Let's go a little further. In verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who called out on the Lord with a what? A pure heart. So that's association. One of the things he's going to first do is get you away from people you shouldn't be yoked with. Bad company corrupts good habits. The first thing he does is begin to get you away from people, places, and things that you associated with. And that is one of the flaws in an individual when they've allowed God to begin to build their house. The next thing they know, they're calling people or they're associating with people from their past when God's not told them. And seeds begin to get planted. Or people that are not walking correctly, and they know it, but they choose to associate with them anyways because it feels good. So the first thing he begins to do is remove you from those who are not worshiping the Lord or in fellowship with the Lord or call out to the Lord with a pure heart. I said a pure heart. A pure one. One that's honest. One that's looking out for your best benefit. One that carries the fear of the Lord. One that doesn't speak evil of dignitaries. Does everybody got this? One that doesn't have a foul mouth. One that doesn't lie, doesn't exaggerate or manipulate. All of these areas are associated with an unclean heart. In verse 23, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Wow. So the first thing the Lord begins to do is what we call the cleansing. He begins to remove you from certain things that are contaminating you. Cleans you out. Matthew 21. Why? Because we want to be a master builder. You know, God knows the motives of people. Never think that he doesn't know your motive. Matthew 21. In verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? Then Jesus went into the temple of God and what? He what? He drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Let me tell you, this is a part of that cleansing. Listen, the Lord, unless the Lord builds a house, you know what he's going to do? He's going to come in, he's going to expose everything. It's going to start kicking over tables in your temple. It's going to start changing, rearranging your furniture. Because it's his house now, not yours. He can hang any color curtain he wants. He can buy any kind of furniture. He can put anything in his temple that he wants. Because it's his now. See, but when we think that we're trying to bring God into our life instead of living his life, we're deceived. Now we try to tell the Lord how we need to be decorated. May look good on the outside, but inside a ravenous wolf. In verse 13, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a what? Den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he what? He healed them. Why? Because once the temple is cleansed, healing comes. Does everybody? Now you're able to see. See, it's all the thieves that we've housed with not collecting any rent that have been living in this temple of ours, and that come back because of associations, that come back because of false agreements, that come back. What it does is begin to blind us again, and it begins to blind us to God's will. His purpose. The only thing we're looking at is ourselves, because behind your eyelids is a mirror. And the only thing you can see is you. Me, 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 me. So in that, when we become blind, we can't really see what God is saying. We can't see what he's trying to. We can't see his will. We can't see these things. We're too busy trying to maintain, trying to survive. And caught up in all kinds of things. Now we're trying to fulfill the flesh because we can't fulfill the spirit. So what begins to happen is he begins to remove the demonic influence in the house before he can shut down. Listen, you must remove the demonic influence in here before you can shut down demonic interference. You first must remove the demonic influence. Then you can shut down the demonic interference. Does everybody got it? Accursed items are demonic influence. Now, do they interfere also? Yes. But the demons that are there are influencing you. Again, the demonic influence must be removed so that you can remove the demonic interference. That's why you fight sometimes and struggle before you come to services. Before you come, the enemy always tries to say, well, man, you know, maybe, and then you begin to look for something that ails you. You know, maybe I, oh, man, I got a sore foot. Because the devil lies and he loves to make excuses. Hey, listen, if I got to be here, you better be here. In Luke 14. Luke 14. Is everybody okay? Master builders. Everyone say, I'm a master builder. In verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Again, a disciple is a master builder. Has everybody got it? They're not wannabes, they're willoughbys. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my what? Disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to what? Mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. I just call him an idiot. Because the word idiot spiritually means spiritually blind. They're called idiots. So there must be a count of cost session. Okay. In other words, death of self. How about, I got a count of cost in the area that I know I must die. So I can't associate with human precepts. Do I want shame or honor? What kind of legacy am I willing to leave behind? Am I really willing to do whatever it takes? Not for a day, a week, 9 months, but forever. Forever. Am I willing to do whatever it takes forever? Not just when I need something. Not when I desire something. But forever. That's a master builder. That's a disciple. A disciple doesn't choose not to follow God one day and choose the next. He's sold out all the way. There is no option. There is no other life. There is no other way. This is the way it is, and this is how it's going to be until I die. That's a disciple, and that's a master builder. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3. And verse 4. Is everybody there? In verse 4, let's read it. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was a faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ again, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. The deception of the enemy is to harden the heart. He promotes rebellion. So you think you're building with the right plans, with the right material, and the right time. But the results are disastrous. So it isn't. You'll know it by fruit. You'll know everything by fruit. If you're not maintaining peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit and bearing good fruit and maintaining the fear of the Lord, you know something's not right in your life. Amen? Praise God. That's why the Bible says seek. He says ask, right? And you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and what? The door will be open to you. So in these areas, so many times, you know, seek ye the kingdom of God and all things will be added to you. Too many people are knocking with never even asking or seeking. Because they're out of order, they're out of time, and they're trying to build something with the wrong material. Seek the kingdom and all things will be added to you. You know, it's a terrible thing to always have to rebuild. Man, the body of Christ, so many people in the body of Christ spend more time rebuilding, 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 redecorating. They redecorate the outside a lot and hope that the inside will change by the outside. But it doesn't work that way. You can dress yourself up real nice, but the inside can still be a terrible place to live. It could still be a terrible place with confusion and torment and frustration and heaviness. But there's so much rebuilding of the temples in the body of Christ. And God's saying, come on, become that master builder. Become that master builder. Really become my disciple. Become my disciple. Deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow me. Hate this life and love the life I've got for you. In Genesis 11. Genesis 11. In verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there, and they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, that's it. Indeed, these people are one and they have all one language. And this is what they begin to do. Come on, you can't do anything better. Here you are building a tower, thinking that so that you can have a name for yourself. See, they were building their own house, and they were building it with stone and asphalt. And the Lord came down and said, you know what? This ain't going to work. And the only reason, the motive behind them building the tower, you got to remember, is because they knew that they weren't right with God. So they decided to build a tower so when the Lord sent the flood, they wouldn't get scattered. They thought they can build a tall enough tower where everybody could get on and avoid the flood. So God destroyed the tower and everybody got scattered and they could no longer speak the same language again. So they were building it not with the blueprints of God's plan and not according to his time. And he scattered them, so it brought disaster, didn't it? So we must be careful about how we build. It must be according to God's plan, according to God's truth, and according to God's time. 1 Chronicles 28. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Now David assembled at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribe and the captains of the divisions who served the king, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds and the stewards over all the substance and the possessions of the king and his sons, with the officials, the valiant men, and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build a house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.'" Now understand this, the reason why the Lord did not allow him to build the house, because he killed his right-hand man. Because he slept with that man's wife, got her pregnant, killed him, and married her. That wasn't too right in the eyes of God. Brought a curse on the family line, he lost a child, and Israel never rested again until Solomon took over. Verse 4. "However, the Lord said, 'The Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he was pleased with me to make me king over all of Israel. And all of my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father.'" See, when you become that master builder, when God begins, there's that relation that's being built. That is truly the first foundation to be built, is relationship with him. Where he is your father and you are his child. In verse 7, "Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. If he is steadfast," I said, "if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father, serve him with a loyal heart and a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider this now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary, to be strong and to what? To what? To do it. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans. The what? Didn't Dad do that? He gave him the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasures, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat. And the plans for all that he had by the what? Spirit. Of the courts of the house of the Lord and all the chambers around, of the treasures of the house of God and the treasures for the dedicated things, also for the division of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of the service in the house of the Lord. So the Lord gave him three things: plans, the material, and timing. So everybody got it? The same thing, because Solomon was now becoming a master builder. David knew exactly what to do, because he received all the information from the Lord. See, David was supposed to have been the master builder, but because of what he did, he put blood on his hands. It was unclean blood, and he could not build the house of God. Does everybody got it? Can't build without clean hands and a pure heart. The plans of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is the master mentor, and we are the master builders so the Master can dwell and move where he desires in us and through us. Go to Psalm 24. Everybody got that? Psalm 24. And verse 1. Psalm 24, verse 1. Let's read this. The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. He has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his what? Holy place. He who has what? Clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who what? Seek him, who seek your face. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift up your everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. So who can build? He who has clean hands and a what? Pure heart. That's a master builder. Go to 1 John chapter 2. Everybody there? 1 John 2, 24. Therefore, let this abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. Again. He said, but the anointing, the what? The anointing, which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it's taught you, you will abide in him. You will abide in him. Now this is powerful because he's saying the anointing that teaches you. The foundation is built on the anointing. Has everybody got it? And in the foundation of the anointing, now grab hold of this because the anointing is the eternal presence of God, power, and truth. So what has happened is the temple of God, the building of God, is carrying the anointing. Why? Because you can't become a master builder and help build someone else without the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty. Has everybody got it? You know, so many, and I'm going to share this with you because I see so many times, especially places we minister and so forth, and people believe that they're saved and they're believers and they're right with God and they love Jesus, and you can tell that the house ain't right. The house just ain't right, man. There's not a, you know, white picket fence and all the nice dressings. But anyways, the house is not right. It's got weeds. It's got all kinds of stuff hanging all out of it, you know. It's got horns and, you know, it's got all kinds of, I mean, you just know. And it's amazing to me because what has happened is where they're being under or whatever, they're trying to become a master builder, but you can't build. You can't become a master builder without the anointing. It's impossible. And that's where the eternal presence, power, and truth is. And God is calling us to be a master builder. Amen? Not just a farmer, you know, throwing seed. He doesn't want your house to be filled with seed. He wants it to be filled with oil. He provides a seed. Now, the seed is used to sow, isn't it? but the oil is used to grow. Hallelujah. So you may run into a lot of people and you'll notice, and this is not in condemnation. I mean, you know, especially we minister in a jail, and we get a lot of jailhouse stuff, man. And some of the people that come in there and share some of the things, I'll come into jail and they'll go, yeah, man, we just had this preacher come in and preach this, this, and this. And I went, oh, God, help us. And I know that he was not under a master builder. Or we'd be like-minded, wouldn't we? One of the things we'd always be expressing about is the anointing, because you must be backed by the anointing. But you have to have the anointing by worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, good. I like that. Let's go to Hebrews 10 then. Is this making sense to you? Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So he says, do not forsake assembling, right? Why? Because that's where the corporate anointing comes, doesn't it? Now I want you to see this other word in the word assembling. Do you see it? What word is in assembling? Assemble, right? So without the anointing, can you be a master builder that assembles? No. Does everybody got this? So it's important that we assemble so we can assemble. Or you'll be putting a chimney in the driveway. And you'll stumble over it all the time. The windows will be on inside out. The hinges of the door will be on the wrong side. It'll be a mess. First Peter chapter 2. First Peter chapter 2. Come on, it's the best part of the whole teaching. What are you talking about? First Peter chapter 2. Is everybody there? So thank you for assembling so you can assemble. Glory. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4. Coming to him as a what? Living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living what? Stones are what? Being built up a what? Spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, behold, I lie in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he who believes on him will by no means put to shame. Why? Because if you believe, you follow. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and the stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So we are this spiritual house, a building built by the master mentor, that we may be master builders in cooperation with the anointing. And I'm going to close in Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 11. You know, think about it. Paul talked about the tent. You know, wasn't Paul a tent maker? So he had some practice, didn't he? In fact, the word tells us that we know when this tent goes, we have one from God. Hallelujah. So you need to build this one according to the will of God and the ways of God, so the one that's waiting for you. Will you be putting on another tent? And it ain't God's image. In verse 11, and he himself gave some to be apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the what? For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ as a master builder. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying itself in love. In love. And again, there's so many buildings that are in need of renovation. So many buildings. And it's not edifying to the body. It's like a landowner that owns all kinds of houses and apartments, but so many of them need renovation. And because of so much renovation, the ones that don't know anything about it look at it from the outside and say, why would I want to be a part of that? Does everybody understand? Why would I want to be a part of that? God is raising up master builders now. It's happening. Don't fight for your life. Give it. Unless the Lord builds a house, we labor in vain. Amen. Let God have you completely. And don't hand him your own prints. He doesn't need your blueprints. He's got his own. Trust, rest, wait, and do. According to his plan, according to his truth, and according to his time. You know, if we'll just wait. See, he uses a wait period to see what you're going to do. And sometimes it's like the flood's coming in, and it's up to your knee, or up to your ankle, and then up to your waist. Sometimes he's allowing the flood to come in up to your waist before he yanks you out. Look what happened to Abraham. Everyone here, if God told you to do that, he said, that ain't God. Abraham didn't say that wasn't God. Of course, now we know if we heard a voice that said, kill your child, you know it ain't God. You know what I'm saying? But at that period of time, so I don't want to hear anybody, you know, same thing with plucking your eye out because it sins, you know, don't come in with a patch on, right? But you know, because there's things of God's timing. You know, we got to discern the weather conditions. Amen? But in that, God is moving mightily. And he loves us so much and unconditionally. And he's not looking at what you've done. He's looking at what you're going to become and who you are. See, he already sees you who you are. The problem is we don't. You know? So we really have to fight to see who we are. And maintain it. But we must become master builders. And the only way that you can become a master builder is to forsake everything else and let God build the house. Amen. Let's lift our hand to heaven. Lord, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for putting up with us. Thank you for your faithfulness and your mercies that are new every morning. Thank you for your unconditional love. And thank you, Lord, that we do have the opportunity to rehab our own home. Thank you. But I pray, Father, that we'll do it according to your plan. Your plan. Your truth and your time. And that the anointing in us will teach us and guide us so that we can become a master builder and be an extension of your hands, your voice, your feet, your heart, your love, your compassion, and your truth in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that was for you.